welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Now, here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Hello, hi, Don. Mr. Tom. How are you doing this afternoon?
Pretty good. Good to have you here. Don Patterson is here.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Great to be here.
Hello, hello, hello.
A little different recording time, but it's neat.
I'm Tom Houston, but now here's the creator and producer of Blind Handyman. Here's Phil Parr.
Just a small hand, if you don't mind, please. Thank you so much. Man, I'm going to try this with these, and if it doesn't work out, I may just go shoot myself. But hello there. I'm Phil Parr. Welcome to the exciting Blind Handyman Show. This is show 11, guys. Is that right?
Number 11.
You're right.
Numbata. Your phone's working, Pat?
Yes, it's right.
We don't want to go a week without mentioning Don's headphones. We don't want to do that. Actually, the radio had drifted off station. I've got to get you a better radio. I'll go to Sam's as soon as we get off and take care of that. I wish you would. You're supposed to say, I wish you would.
I wish you would.
Well, here we are, the Blathers edition of Blind Handyman. We have, today we're going to, of course, read our email, and we're going to talk about, we have a special guest. Don, you want to tell us about
my brother-in-law, John Porter, we're going to have after the break, and we're going to talk about an email that we had gotten about a stove ignition problem.
Yeah.
And just several things with him.
And he's, what is he, his, he makes his living.
Yeah, he does maintenance at a hospital in Tyler. And so that's kind of maintenance. It's kind of what he's done for a lifetime, really. So he's had lots of experience.
So if you're in the hospital in Tyler and your iron lung conks out, he's the guy.
John's the one to call.
John's the guy.
He's the guy they'll call to resuscitate, to get your iron. I'm sorry.
Take care of all those buildings and equipment.
I shouldn't be doing it. I'm looking for humor everywhere. So we're going to talk to him. He'll be our guest today.
Yep.
And then Mr. Patterson, Don Patterson, never-ending house remodeling project is coming up again, rearing its ugly head again. And you're going to tell us what it is.
Today I'm going to talk about installing a micro hood. It's a combination microwave and vent hood. Replacing, I was taking out an existing vent hood and replacing this with this. And I got to tell you, it was an intimidating project. So,
is that what they call it? A micro hood?
A micro hood, yes.
That's a great word, great name.
And also, I guess we ought to mention the fact that if I sound a little down, it's because our Lufkin Panthers were defeated last night. They were state champions for you people not from Lufkin that don't know, and they lost to a 2-2 team. A 2-2 team just clean their clock, and we're really kind of sad about that. And all during football season, you're probably going to hear us moaning and groaning.
And they ended, I heard a guy say last night, Lufkin will now end an 18-game winning streak.
Yes. My goodness
gracious.
Yes,
they were going for number 19, and this was a team they should have beat. They beat the number 3 ranked in the state and the number 2 ranked in the state, and this team was already in district play 2-2.
I thought Eisenhower Houston was ranked number 1 when they beat them.
Number 1 when they beat them. That's right. Okay. Katie was number 3 and Eisenhower was number 1, and this team was just a 2-2. I think we worked them over really good last year, so they got some sweet revenge.
And for you folks in Tanzania, we'll take that part of the show.
Yeah,
it's just we're just a little down, a little disheartened because, we've started drinking early. No, I'm not only kidding. But anyway, I have. Let me talk of my problem. I have hearing aids in today for the first time. Jonathan Mosen also has hearing aids. He's got his, and he seems to be adapting well to them. I'm not adapting well at all. I'm not going to tell you what kind they are because I don't know and I don't care. I'm taking them back. With the headphones on, everything sounds pretty normal.
Yeah,
because I'm not hearing myself as myself. If you are partially blind, or if you're totally blind, if you have an eye problem and you plan to get hearing aids, my email address is philparr, all lowercase, at txucom.net. That's philparr at txucom.net. Email me and we'll talk about it. Or if you have a set of hearing aids, para here, we'll discuss that. It's quite
part a hearing aid list.
Huh? Well, I bet there. I was thinking this morning. I'll bet there is because now I'm deaf blind. It's double handicapped Phil Parr.
Yeah,
deaf blind and dumb.
But
anyway,
you also fit into a new minority status.
I do. I do. The deaf blind.
I don't know if there's any money in it. But.
Well, that's what I keep wondering. Is there? I certainly found out the Commission for the Blind won't buy hearing aids in Texas. I may move.
Really?
Because we're going to have to hawk something to pay for these things. Anyway, I guess it's time to read some email, huh? What do you think?
Okay. Hi, guys. What a wonderful show. Just recently caught your show on demand and really enjoyed it. Plan to start listening on a regular basis. MSN is a great idea. Not only could we give comments and questions, but when we see you come online on MSN, we know it's showtime. And thanks to ACB Radio and Blind Handyman for a super idea for a show. And that's from Becky Buckner.
All right.
And that was Don Shaw's idea on the MSN Messenger, I believe.
And, yeah, again, on the MSN Messenger, if you want to add Blind Handyman to your contact list, just open your contact list and put in blindhandyman@hotmail.com, and it will add us to your MSN Messenger list.
But now, how does that work? Would that send you a message telling you that this person wanted to be a...
Yes, and then we say okay on that, and they'll be we'll be on each other's list,
As you can gather, I'm pretty much computer illiterate.
We will we will see what happens.
All right, thanks, Becky. We appreciate that. If you have any questions about handyman stuff, give us a call, and we'll how would that if you see this on, you'll know the shows, and what would we do?
That's something we've got to work towards, is getting some things going with the Messenger once we get a list together, which we're getting. We're adding more to the MSN Messenger list, every week.
I think you could put your guest on through the computer, couldn't you?
We're going to work on that.
There's probably a way to do that.
That would be cool.
I know anything about computers. I
have to go buy a new computer.
Read what's on the screen, and that's about it.
All right, anyway.
Okay, hello. I just came across your archive shows on ACB Radio. And I'm looking forward to listening to all of the 8 shows thus far. I do have 2 suggestions right off the bat. First, can you put a short description of what each show is about next to the link so that people know what you will be covering on the show? Now, I think this will assist people decide whether the topics are relevant to their needs and interests. This will also help people refer back to a particular show if they're doing a task in the future and want to refer back to your discussion on that task. Secondly, it looks like each of your show generally covers difficult or rather different topics. Can you make separate audio clips so that when people listen to the show using WinAmp or Real Player, they can easily skip from one topic to another without having to listen through the topic that they're not interested in? You can find an example of what I'm referring to by listening to the main menu show, also on ACB Radio. I hope that your show will be a permanent fixture on ACB, because I always wanted to be more of a handyman around the house. This is good luck from Don Vu, and he's out in Palo Alto, California, guys.
Yeah, and we did send Don an email back, by the way, talking about being able to use the Real Player anyway to go and listen to different segments of the show. So I wanted to clear that up.
So do you know how that works?
Actually, that was someone else that had sent the email. I'm not sure on the procedure, but he did get that information.
Will Real Player work?
Real Player will work, and you can pick your segment that you want to listen to with the Real Player. I just don't use the Real Player.
You mean there would be a mark there, so you could move to after the break, or how
I'm
do you
I'm not
just...
sure there's necessarily a mark, but I think it's broken down in, the file is broken down into segments, and you can go,
you
I don't know
like
if
like your fast forward numbered or fast advance, I think. Like you were changing tracks on a CD, I would have.
Basically, something like that,
I think. But where would the mark be? I'm going to have to get into the 20th
but
century
the indexing,
here.
Indexing, I'm not sure how that would be.
I know,
maybe
I'm a real player.
Someone might have to accomplish that.
Let's commission Shaw to research that.
Yeah, he's our resident.
Well, the WinApp now, I would know more or less better than with the Real Player. But
next week we want a complete report.
We did get the info. The man did get the info.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the way that'll work. And so we have been talked several times about going back and putting the subject line. So that you'd know what the show talks about. It's just a matter of doing it. And I guess we need to do it now so we won't have 15 shows to do. So I've just been working on other things and trying to figure out how I could hear. And anyway, I'll try to get to that. We'll try to get to that this week.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Okay. Okie dokie. On with emails. Hi, guys. I just listened to part of show 8 and was quite impressed. Although I always wanted to take a more active role in household maintenance and repairs, I've never known how to go about it as a blind person. Subsequently, my sighted husband does 99% of the household repairs. I like your description of molly bolts. I remember 20-some years ago, when I was first living on my own, I attempted to hang some draperies. I had some molly bolts, but no one explained how to use them. I remember pushing the bolts through the hole, and it spread out as it should, and I thought that was it. Well, as you already can guess, I ended up with an unsuccessful project and a much bigger hole in the wall, so much for damage deposits. I just wanted to let you know.
Right, that's right.
I've never gotten one back in my life. Have you?
It just doesn't happen, does it?
No, it doesn't happen.
Oh, I just wanted you to let you know that I will now be spending some time listening to your earlier shows and hopefully picking up some tips and tricks. Although I am terrified of power tools, I may one day gain enough courage and knowledge to use them. Can you recommend any accessible handyman books? I'm thinking here of something like a handyman book for dummies. Something geared for blind people would be especially appreciated, as techniques used by sighted people often don't measure up. Keep up the good job, and I'll certainly keep checking the archives for shows on demand. And this is from Gene.
All right.
Well, as we pointed out several times, you do things when you're blind, you do them many times, you do them the same way a sighted person would. A drill is a drill is a drill. A saw is a saw. And you just need to remember, don't get your fingers in it and push the board through it. But, you know, you just lots of, if you're afraid of power tools, you're going to have a hard time.
Well, and you know, not to be trite about it, but yeah. The old saying, when you're using these power equipments, keep your thumbs in your pocket, and you won't get hurt. Sure, and you have to learn to sort of maybe be creative and create your own jigs. If I was going to start out with a power equipment, just really getting started, Gene, yeah. Like you, and I would buy a battery screwdriver, and just start, you know, a cordless little screwdriver, and start messing with that, seeing how your fingers, because that you can touch the working parts of that and not get hurt, and try that, and then you could move up to a cordless drill or something like that.
Well, you can buy these cordless screwdrivers that you just slip a bit in. You can buy a little drill bit with a thing that size on the end. Yeah. And so you got a drill and a screwdriver.
I would start out with a little power cordless operation like that.
Put on your charger and you charge it up.
Yeah.
And then you go and use it. I've got two or three of them. They're the handiest thing in the world for any time you want. Of course, they power screwdrivers usually won't handle those big 4-inch drywall buddies.
But black bolt.
Man, for taking something apart or putting something together, or like she talked about, hanging drapes or something like that, like a molly bolt, once you push it through, no one has corrected. I don't think that's the right name for those. But once you've pushed it through the hole, and you've got it secure where the base of it won't turn, if you put your little power screwdriver on there and go, it's tight. Then you back it off. It takes just seconds to do that. Because once it gets its freedom, it can spin that little screw in the molly bolt quickly. And it'll slow down you'll hear it. Because when it's tight, then you start backing it off, because that means it's spread out the things on the inside. But boy, with a power screwdriver, go buy you one of those. You can get one for what, $19 at Walmart?
Just to play with. Yeah. Just your first little power. First cordless tool I ever bought.
Really? Will it still take a charge?
No.
That's the catch.
But you have it.
That's the catch.
I threw one away the other day that I could not figure out how to put batteries in. I've got enough. Phil actually threw something away. I heard of some sort of a fanfare or something. Phil Parr actually. What Fussell always says, if Phil throws it away, buddy, it's junk.
Yeah.
You don't want it.
Disposable power tools.
Yeah.
Now,
huh? All right. Tommy?
Okay. I've listened to a couple of shows on demand, but still don't know when it's live. I'm a blind woodworker and looking to upgrade my Craftsman Contractor Series table saw to a larger cabinet maker saw. I have never been happy with the fence on the Craftsman saw. Would be interested in knowing what make and model saw you gentlemen have or recommend. This is from Keith Patterson.
I could kind of address that.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I have a Craftsman saw. I don't think mine is the contractor version. Mine's probably, you know, the $159 saw. I did buy a real good blade. Kind of an all-purpose blade that cost almost like
blade.
$70, almost cost half as what the saw. But you're right, the big bugaboo on any table saw is the fence, And Craftsman's, I would say, are as good as any for that price. I mean, that come with the saw. But there is a company, and of course I'm not going to know the name of it, but online, because I found it, and they sell fences. That's what they do, and you can buy it. Now, some of their fences are $400 or $500, but they'll fit.
Whoa,
just
wow.
About adapt Man. To any saw. And I mean, you can move them in micro, you know, distances. So yes,
you don't want to name the company. You don't want.
Well, no, I don't know that name.
Or you don't know the name.
I
okay.
ran across
okay.
the same thing because I wasn't happy. Well, I really started with your saw, uh-huh. and I don't even know what make it is. We've always complained about the fence on
yeah,
your
the
saw.
Fence.
Now, when I got my Craftsman, it's a little better, but sometimes you can get off square because one end it's just not precision. But if you want to spend the bucks, and next week I'll come back with maybe a couple of names for. Places that just they make fences,
but surely a contractor or cabinet grade table saw, it's going to have a real good
a better
fence,
fence
on
than what I'm
yeah,
using.
Yeah, surely.
And I think
it would.
We all are using probably a cheap, a budget.
Oh yeah,
Craftsman
budget type saw.
Yeah.
Mine is made by ProTech, and the only difference in fact, I've got two. I've got a little Craftsman. Boy, the thing that made me mad about this Craftsman is I bought it, and after I bought it, they said, oh, by the way, you have to have a stand for this, Mr. Parr.
Yeah.
And I think yeah. it was $119 yeah. on sale, but, of course, the stand was $71.50. So, you know, there you go. And it didn't have a stand, and the fence only attaches on one end. So I have a different kind of a blade in it, and I do use it some, but I have a dado blade in it, which we will talk about someday. And in my ProTech, of course, I have the regular blade. Don hates my table saw. I don't know why, but he just doesn't. He doesn't like my table. I'm Chaw boy. Hates my because it's. I've still got the original blade in it, and it really isn't a very. It's kind of a ripping. But my fence on this little ProTech, which was $120 or so at Lowe's, attaches. It does attach on both ends. That's all I can. You know, that's the only thing I can say that's good about it. Other than the big contractors like Robert had. Mine is a direct drive. I mean, the blade is attached to the shaft of the motor. I guess yours is probably the same.
Mine's
that.
Direct drive.
Yours is
yes.
direct drive,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I think they're both direct drive. Robert's big one is a belt-driven saw.
Uh-huh.
And I've never been able to figure out why that's better, other than if you got stuck, you probably wouldn't burn the motor up.
In a bind, yeah.
If you got in a bind, you wouldn't. But you'd like, I got my miter saw in a bind this week, and it just kicked the breaker. It didn't
uh-huh.
really hurt the motor. It just kicked out there. I'd taken the bark off some oak, and I decided, you know, I'll just cut this in two with the chop saw, and it wasn't a good idea. Don't do that.
Oh, really? Now that's interesting.
Well, it was late at night, and you know what I was probably doing. But anyway, it's one of those deals that didn't work out. But a little old Craftsman table saw is not bad, or this ProTech is not bad, and Lowe's has them all day for $119, a little ProTech table saw. I recommend it. I like it a lot better than my Craftsman. Anyway.
Okay, we probably have time for one more email here. It says, hi all, my name is Kevin Doucet. I'm living in Prattville, Alabama.
Doucet.
Is it Doucet?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, Prattville is down near Montgomery, I believe. I have only recently learned of your show, and I am really enjoying listening, not only to the great information, but the personalities and humor entertaining also. I have a problem I need help with. If you have already addressed this sort of issue, forgive as I have not listened to all your shows.
Mm-hmm.
I would just listen to them all first, but my wife is really wanting a solution. Now, here's the problem. I have a natural gas range. It is one of those ranges with the electronic starters. The oven will not light, and the pilot is not on. We looked in the manual, and I have tried everything mentioned to no luck. What might I be looking for to fix this problem? Thanks in advance. Keep up the great shows.
Aha.
All right.
Aha.
Well, this is what we will be discussing with our guest here coming up after the break that's coming up.
I talked to this fellow yesterday. He called me. My phone number is on the end of the show, and he called me to say that the archives were down. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Really?
But we're going to have him on as a guest. Real nice fellow, totally blind, lives in Alabama, is a vendor, and we'll talk more about him and talk about his problem after the break. Back in just a minute.
looking for a place you can talk about ACB Radio programming with friends and other listeners, then you might want to join our ACB Radio Friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB Radio announce list. And you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you got to do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Keep in touch.
ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
When they're not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
This is Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from the
ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves.
Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
That's the second time I've done that. Just
intro, we're back, huh?
We are back. There's no question about that, is there? No.
We are back, definitely back. Okay, and on this segment, we have as our guest John Porter. Hello, John. How are you doing today?
Hand
for John.
Doing good, Don. Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you. And we have a few things here to talk to you about today.
First of all, let's ask John, what do you do for a living, sir?
I'm a work at a hospital here in Texas. I'm a general service mechanic. I work on a little bit of everything.
Can you speak up just a little bit? We're having a little hard time hearing you.
Okay. My name is John Porter. I work in Texas at a hospital. I'm a general service mechanic. I work on appliances, different, a little bit of everything throughout the hospital and outside buildings.
Do you work on any medical equipment?
No, I don't work on a medical equipment. Only appliances.
So you just keep the fridges going and the hot water flowing and things of that nature?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay, so if we were in a respirator at the hospital up there and it went off, it wouldn't be your fault?
No, it wouldn't be my fault. That'd be
a He'd probably be the guy standing on the hose.
Probably get the blame for it.
We just wanted to check that out to make sure that if anybody listening in the hospital in Tyler wouldn't call you, we won't give your home number on the air.
That's right.
Anyway, we had some people that called that actually sent us some email about some things that, if you can believe this, John, we don't know how to do.
We don't know about this.
In fact, we don't even know anything. We don't know that these things exist. And what were the questions, Shaw?
And he's familiar with the email about the stove, the ignition problem. And that was that the man had the problem with the stove not lighting.
He can't get the pilot light to light. He can't get anything.
The oven, he said,
electronic ignition is not working.
Give us a crash course on this sort of thing, if you don't mind.
Replacing that.
Okay, it sounds like his electronic igniter's not working. But the first thing you need to do is check and, of course, make sure the range is plugged in. And make sure that his upper burners will ignite. It's got a separate igniter on the upper burners if they're igniting. Chances are it's going to be a igniter on his oven.
On the oven.
Yes.
The igniter. Now, is that a separate part that a guy can take off and go buy a new one?
Yeah, it's fairly simple. The best way he can, if he's got someone around, that can see, on a blind show, is just turn the oven on, open the door first, and look in and you can see the igniter when it'll turn an orange color when it starts heating up.
So it heats up automatically?
Yes.
When you plug the oven in, is it something you could touch?
No, you do not want to touch it. It'll be red hot. It'll burn you.
Well, I might reach up there.
But it's...
Do what now?
It's not going to come on. When you turn the oven on, it will come on.
Someone will see it back there.
Right.
If you have someone with sight, somebody's going to know that's there, and they'll be able to see it, and they'll be able to say, this little thing in your oven turned orange.
Right.
And you know that that's not an orange. It's an igniter.
It's an igniter.
Okay. Right. So if
we'll
that...
start there. If they don't see the orange, what they need to do is unplug the oven range from the back of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Try to pull it out from the wall. When you get out far enough, be sure and turn the gas off.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
And try to pull it out to where you can get behind it. You may or may not be able to get behind it without unhooking the gas. If you have to, unhook the gas range. And it's got a flex connector on it, and get it out where you can get to the back of the range.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And when you do, there'll be a back on it. It's going to have several screws on the back. Just take all the screws out and remove the back of the panel.
Yeah.
From the range.
Okay.
For starters. Then you'll need a, if they have a volt ohm meter, they can take that. When you get into the back of the range, there's going to be down behind the oven, down low, there'll be some piping going in and should be two wires going in. You can disconnect these two wires. Most of the newer ones, they just plug together. You can unplug them. Some of the older ones, they'll have wire nuts on them, or they could be going to a terminal block, screwed in or
mm-hmm.
snapped on. Whichever mm-hmm. he has, he can just disconnect the two wires.
And I guess that would depend on the brand or the age of the stove,
it
huh?
It would depend on the brand or the age. There are several different ways it could be. The
okay.
newer ones, most of them are plugs.
All right.
But after he finds these two wires, whatever way they're hooked up, just disconnect them. You can take a digital ohm meter and ohm them out. Just turn your ohm meter to the high scale reading and read between these two wires for continuity.
Phil, that's why we need to find volt ohm meter.
They don't make those anymore. Radio Shack
is. They need to, don't they?
Boy, that would be
that'd
something.
Be a fine
we need
use
to
for that.
Sell those on the Blind Handy Man website.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, assuming that you're blind, John, and you can't read a volt ohm meter, what do you want to do there?
Well, on your digital volt meters, volt and ohm meters, most of the new ones in the high scale reading, it'll make a buzzing noise when you.
Really?
You can take the two probes and put them together. When you get direct community, it'll make a buzzing noise.
Now that's good to know.
So you can just put it in that scale and check it. Make sure you get the buzzing noise.
In other words,
yeah, at least it'd be audible, which is great.
On the digital volt ohm meter, you're saying if you touch the probes together, you get a buzzing noise.
Right.
And so if you had continuity through this igniter, you'd get the same buzzing noise.
Right.
There wouldn't be enough resistance to keep the buzzing noise from buzzing.
No, there wouldn't be enough.
Well, I'll
that's
be...
It. Yeah, that's good
enough. And this is, you have a what's called a digital volt ohm meter.
Yes.
Where did you get this?
Well, there's different places. I bought mine at an electrical supply store here in town, but you can get them at just about anywhere, any of your...
Hardware or Walmart.
And so if you played with it, if you had played with this thing enough to know what the buzzing noise was supposed to sound like and you didn't get it, then you've got no continuity through your igniter, right?
Right.
Or whatever.
If you
Man,
go
what
through
a deal.
These two
yeah.
wires and you have no continuity, you know yeah. that the element is burned out. It's got an open.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to get it.
Well, I'll be done.
Well, that's good to know.
You could, you know, read the ohms, and but that's going to tell you.
Yeah, but if you can't, if you're blind, but if you had a digital volt ohm meter, it would make the noise. That's
right.
That's wonderful,
yeah,
see?
Yeah, which is great.
Which is great.
So anyway, then you would take this out. Is there like two or four volts that hold this coil in to the...
Well, there's different applications, you know, like not knowing the model, the range, year, model, make of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, on the backside, you have the two wires, you're going to have two gas lines. There'll be a smaller gas line for the pilot light,
mm-hmm.
a larger one for the main burner.
All right.
What you want to do is disconnect these two lines. There, and then go around in front. Your burner is it's going to be down low under the shelf in the range. There should be 4 to 5 screws holding the main burner in. You can disconnect it and pull the whole assembly out. Get it out where you can work on it.
Well, the thing to do, seems like once you get it out, would be to take it to your appliance store, your appliance doctor, whatever your local appliance store is in your town that would sell parts, appliance parts, and just take it with you and get them to match you.
Wait a minute. I got lost. I thought we were replacing the igniter, John.
Yeah, we are, but the igniter is attached to the main burner.
And so you take the whole burner off to get to the igniter.
You take the whole burner off and get it out, and then you can disconnect the igniter from the burner itself. And some models, you can't do that. Some models, the igniter and the burner are built together.
You just have to buy them both.
Yeah, so that's why you need to get it out where you can look at it and determine if the igniter can be taken off.
Okay.
What I would recommend is just taking the whole burner out and taking it to your client store.
And that guy, he can easily tell you whether the igniter will come off the burner or what's going on, can't he?
Yeah, he can easily tell you.
Okay.
All right.
Most of the time, you know, depending on the make and model, they may have it in stock, may not. You may have to order it.
John, I have a question for you. This is Don Patterson. Haven't talked to you in a long while.
Yeah, it's been a while, Don.
We always, sometimes on the show, try to give them another way. And if this was something that, say, after you've described it, that this person might not think they could do, would you say that a trained technician, a plumber, or whomever you would call, would this be an hour job? Could they do this in an hour?
Well, no. Don, it would probably take more than an hour after taking it out, taking it and getting the part itself and bringing it back.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's what we, in case they wanted to call a serviceman, they'd be probably at least looking at $100-something labor.
Yeah. Probably more than that by the time they get their labor. And the part could range anywhere from $50 to $130.
And the guy's not going to have one with him, is he?
No.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, we'd like to know.
Depending on what kind, if it's a Sears Kenmore range, you call a Sears dealer out, he possibly could have one on the truck.
Yeah, he might if he was a Sears guy, but just a general guy that you'd call. Yeah. But this is a doable deal. I mean, this is not rocket science. Don Shaw could do this with no problem, couldn't he?
Yeah. I know Don well. He could do it with no problem at all.
Yeah, of course, Don could probably fly the spaceship, couldn't he?
That might get iffy, but...
You've met the boy before.
Wiring.
Oh, boy, you can give him a couple of drinks, and he can do a lot of
things. Well, yeah, that makes a difference, too. Yeah, that makes a difference.
We'll discuss that with you, John, next time we... Were you at the... Did I meet you at the reunion where Finus and Pat and I played some? Were you there?
No,
but he came over here.
I have been over to your house. Don and I come over...
During Blind Weekend.
Blind Weekend.
One of the Blind Weekends.
Well, I must not have known you fixed things, or I'd have got you to fix something for me. All right, so you just take that whole burner out, take it to the hardware store, or if you can take it out and you can figure out how to take the, if you've gone that far, you should be able to know what is the igniter and what is not.
Yes. Once you get it out, you can just trace the two wires back and find the igniter.
All right. Yeah.
Most of the time, the igniter's on there with a couple of sheet metal screws and just take them off. Like in some cases, the whole igniter, you have to replace the burner igniter and everything.
Yeah.
On the older model.
Okay. Okay, that should solve the boy's. Did he have an oven, or did he have a range that also wouldn't?
It was the oven, I think.
But the first thing you do is see if those back two burners, they have a separate starter on them?
Yeah, your upper burners on top where you put your skillets.
Yeah, upper burners, okay.
They have a separate igniter. I always check, make sure, when you go to troubleshooting, that's the first thing you do is check that.
Make
check
sure
for
you got
fire.
Yeah.
And if that won't come on, then you got to...
Check the clock. Make sure your clock's running.
If the clock's not running, then you got another problem.
That's going to tell us you probably got an electrical problem, maybe a shorted wire somewhere, a breaker trip.
Okay, well, I hope this helped. This was Kevin Doucette that was asking these questions, right? Mm-hmm. I hope this helped him. What else did you have?
Y'all were going to talk about the wiring, the switches, the double switch wire.
I don't know if we have time to do that. We might ask you about this, see if you can help us, John. So you got a room. It's a big room. and you got two doors and you got two switches. When you walk in, you can turn the light on one side, and then you walk across the room, you can turn it off on the other side. But the switches then are in the up position, so to me that's wrong. Now, do you know how to wire that circuit?
Yes, Phil, I can wire it. If they're both in the up position, something's wrong there. They should work opposite of one another. One's up, the other one should go down.
But you've come in one side of the room and you flip the switch up, which turned the light on. You with me?
Right.
Then you cross the room and you flip the opposite switch to the up position and it cut the light off.
Well, when you walk across the room, whatever direction you turn that switch, it should turn it off, either up or down. They work opposite of one another.
See, that doesn't make any sense to me. That looks like, to me, they would both then be in the on position. The light looks like, to me, would be... There must be a wire that goes between those switches.
Oh, there is. There's a three-wire. If you'll pull the cover off, you'll see that there's a red, black, and white wire.
Well, I won't see that, but you will.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No problem.
We're not sensitive about that at all.
Okay.
We just make fun of it.
One of the switches is probably bad. Will one switch not operated?
This is just a normal circuit. I mean, this is the way this is hooked up. Yeah. When you walk across the room, you've turned it on one side of the room. Then you go to the opposite wall. You walk out of the room. You flip the other switch up, and it turns the light off. But if you flipped it down, it would turn the light on. I mean, that's the way it's wired.
Yeah, that's where it should work. That's a three-way switch.
It's a three-way switch.
Right, it's called a three-way switch. You can walk in the room, get the lights off, you walk in, you can turn it on one side, you walk across the room, go out, flip the switch, and go off.
Yeah, but both switches could be in the up position. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it sounds like someone's got the switch in upside down.
Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this is the way the electrician wired it. Normally, the switches are both down when I walked into the room, okay? I flipped one of them up to turn the light on. I walked across the room and flipped the other one up. It turned the light off. I mean, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
So do you know how to wire that kind of circuit?
Yes, I've wired them.
You've got to have the three-way switch.
You have to have
got to be three-way switch.
It has to be a three-way switch.
Right.
So does that have an extra plug-in or screw-in where the extra wire is going to hook to?
It's a three-way switch. It's got three terminals on the back.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
Wires run to it.
Got to run the wires between them, then,
right.
Between the two.
Then the wires would run between the two switches, and there wouldn't be a switch leg for each switch.
It's a three-way switch. It's wired that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's do a little thinking about that. We got time for you to tell your story about your dryer problem that you had. How are we doing on time?
We've got about a minute.
See if you can tell your dryer story real quick, John, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I had a problem with my dryer, of course, here a couple of weeks ago. My wife told me it wasn't working. I walked in and started troubleshooting it. The first thing when I turned it on, the motor was making a bad noise, and it would run a little bit and stop. And
uh-huh.
My first instinct was it's got a bad motor. So I got in the process tearing the dryer apart, pulled the motor out, and numbed it out. The motor was good. And I tried to turn the pulley on the back of the motor on the lower wheel itself. It circulates the air in the dryer, and it's real hard to turn. So
uh-huh.
I had a lot of lint build up in the back around the propeller on the fan motor blade, and pulled all that out, and that was my problem.
Yeah.
So this lint was keeping it from...
Yeah.
From...
So had your wife been running this dryer without the filter in it?
No, she keeps the filter clean.
Yeah.
Just over the year, the dryer is probably 5 years old, and a little lint's bypassed it.
Another job for that world famous shop vac.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now I got a question for you. Talking about the shop vac, you know, if you suspected lint or just wanted to check for lint, instead of having to take the whole dryer apart, could you take off the dryer vent pipe and unplug the dryer, and reach your hand in there, and could you feel the lint build up there?
Yes, I'm on my dryer. It's a Sears. Most of the dryers you can just disconnect the hose, reach in, you'll feel the propeller.
And then you can stick your shop vac nozzle in there and just got it. Got it covered, huh?
On this case, you couldn't do that. I actually had to take my hands and dig it out because it had built up.
Oh, so
but if the propeller's hard to turn, chances are that's your problem, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Well, John, we want to thank you, and we want to mention that for one of the first times on our show, we've actually dispensed some useful information to people.
That's right.
We actually told them something that made sense, and we appreciate that. We usually don't do that, but we'll call you again next time we have a problem.
Yeah, any time. I enjoyed being on the show, and sometime I can come down and be their person.
Next time, next time you come see your sister, holler at me, sir.
Tell him, and tell him, John, we got Blind Weekend coming up, so poke an eye out
and come on
and join us.
Thank you, John. Right.
Thanks, John. We'll talk with you next. Be back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman.
Visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com. As well as
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove,
you can hear
live, unpredictable internet radio
on ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more.
Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Hang out with other ACB Radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB Radio. It's all possible through the ACB Radio Friends List.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB Radio.
To the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or a project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman at hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
All right. Well,
that would be you.
Yeah, that's me. And today we're going to talk about a project I recently completed. And I think I said it at the first of the show. Just when I thought about doing the project, it was the most intimidating thing I could ever think of. I just could not imagine. I've seen them. And that's talking about installing a micro hood. This is a combination microwave oven and vent hood. As y'all probably know, I've been updating my house sort of a room at a time. And so when I came to the kitchen – This is all new flooring, all new countertops. And so I'd been using an old microwave, probably an old Sears. It might be 15 years old. It takes up a lot of counter space. And then I replaced all of my appliances anyway, oven. I have a separate oven, wall oven, and a stove top that sits in the counter. And then above it was the old vent hood. So I wanted to save some counter space, get rid of my old microwave, and do away with the old vent hood. And so I purchased a micro hood. So Sears Kenmore, medium price, probably $260.
Uh-huh.
And I decided rather than have them do it, I would install it. And actually, after you get the box open and get your plans out, and you know knowing what how they see, I've seen others, and I'd never really seen one installed. But I just decided it really wasn't so intimidating, and it was quite simple. And but like many of the things we talk about on the show. Blind or otherwise, you need assistance, if for nothing else, like just lifting. This thing, we're talking weighs between 70
heavy,
and 80 pounds. And the first place, the first thing you have to do after you've removed your old vent hood is you want to make sure that your structure will support this. And that's what they tell you in the instructions. And, of course, the first thing we can't mention that enough is read the instructions. Have somebody obviously read them to you and make sure, because it's going to give you a couple of things that if you don't have, then you can't put this vent hood up.
You're in trouble, huh?
And one of it is...
Of course, you've already bought it, so you could...
yeah, but
you know,
could...
What do you do with it?
You could trade it back and just get a vent
are
hood.
You, I can't, are you on mic?
Am I? I don't hear my mic.
Now you are.
Okay, and so... The first thing we do, we've removed the old vent hood, and in most cases, except in mine, but we're going to talk about the standard, most of the time you're taking out a 30-inch vent hood. The opening is 30 inches,
is that
and
what
you're
they
going
are,
to replace it
30
with a 30-inch micro hood.
Okay.
In my case, my opening was 36 inches. And I want you to know that a micro hood, 36-inch micro hood, the price is prohibitive. It might be for some kind of professional. But anyway, so you buy a little filler kit, and all was well. I made my own little filler kit. But we're going to talk today about installing a 30-inch microwave into a 30-inch opening.
Okay.
And the first thing you'd want to do is, like I say, after you've read the instructions and you got your box open, is you'd want to get your work area ready and get your tools. And you're going to need just a straight-edge screwdriver, a Phillips screwdriver, an electric drill. You need a couple of drill bits as per the instructions, a 3/8 and a 3/4. And you need a stud finder. We've talked about stud finders before, and most of them, they're not audio. They're going to have the beeper. They're not going to tell you, hey, there's a 2x4, but it's going to buzz, and you're going to know where one is.
At least.
It'll make a beeping.
And so the first thing you have to decide on the microwave is if you have at least one stud running in the back wall of where you're going to put this vent hood. In other words, you're going to attach this micro hood to the back wall, if you're facing your stove, the wall that is immediately in front of you, and you're also going to attach it to the top, to the bottom of the upper cabinet shelf that is above that stove.
Yeah.
And so the first thing you have to do, like I say, is get your tools. You need a measuring tape. You need your electric drill. You need your drill bits. You need a several wood bits, and the screws you're dealing with are 1/4 inch, usually 3 inches long, and they're either going to be one of two types. They're going to be molly bolts or lag bolts, they call them, and or they're going to be big wood screws that will screw into the stud.
But they'll come with your
they'll
with
come
your
with
package.
Your with your package. And what we're wanting to do is there's going to be at least 8 bolts holding this if they're all similar, holding this microwave in. 6 on that rear wall and 2 from the cabinet top. And the first thing you need to do is determine whether you have a stud in that wall, a vertical running up and down that you can catch. If you do not, you cannot put up this oven. 6 molly bolts will not hold it. They recommend not.
In other words, you have to have a stud exactly in the center of where you want
to
put
it. It doesn't have to be in the center, but if you need, you can catch one stud on one side or the other. You need to get at least 2 bolts, one at the top and one at the bottom of this mounting plate.
Because if you did that, then the 2 molly bolts on the other side would hold it.
Right. Well, you're going to have 6 bolts and kind of catch as catch can. In my case, I was lucky. I caught 2 studs, one on the right side and one one in the center.
Oh,
I
no, you
not,
were really lucky.
I did not catch one on the left side, and I had a little snafu. I didn't attach it properly. It didn't use a molly bolt, and the corner pulled loose, and I had to sort of redo. But anyway, now your next project, after you've established that there are studs, one or two, if you're lucky, and let's say if on the inside wall, you're probably on 24-inch centers and 30, so you may get lucky and catch two studs. But the thing that you're interested in installing first is the back plate that supports the microwave. And it's a fairly thin piece of metal, and its dimensions are exactly the size of the back of the microwave. In fact, it's attached to the microwave. Mine was when I took it out of the box, and you have to go and take a grill off front and pull a little hook to release it. And to take it off, and then while you're doing that, you can see how it actually fits on the microwave.
Yeah.
And so then also two important things that come with your microwave, and this is where you'd need assistance, obviously sighted assistance, is you have two templates. You have a rear wall template that is an exact size. It's a piece of paper, and it is the exact dimensions of this plate, mounting plate. And so you securely, if you're in your 30-inch opening, it's roughly 30 inches. I didn't have to cut mine, even though I'm a bigger opening. I didn't have to cut mine. I just had to find the center point.
Uh-huh.
If you have a 30-inch opening, chances are you may be 30 and an eighth, 30 and a quarter even, could be a little big. And some of these microwaves are like not really 30. They're 29 and 7/8. Find the center line. And what you do, you could, in a 30-inch opening with your template, you could almost judge if you had a little space on each side. But anyway, when you put your template up, and you can do it with thumbtacks or scotch tape. I recommend tacks if you're in sheetrock. It'll hold it a little better. Tape sometimes comes off. And it has drawn, it's a picture of the back of this plate. Literally, it's what it is, of this plate. And it has a center line. And so when you're sure you're in the center there where you want that, it also has the little openings to drill the holes. And this is where you want to, but there's several choices for holes. You'd like to catch them in the corner. There again, I got lucky and caught some in the corners.
Okay, so there's several choices for holes. So you could put them,
yeah.
If you could put two, if you found a stud that, say, was 3 inches to the right of the center line,
right,
there might be some holes
there's
there.
There's some holes.
Well,
very good.
Probably,
all right, I could do this.
There's probably 50 holes in this template.
Okay.
I mean, just all over, little pattern, little look like a little fence.
That would work.
That are staggered, that would
work.
And what you want to do is you have your rear template up there. Uh-huh. Now you want to put the template that goes on the bottom counter shelf.
Above
it. Yeah. And it's facing, if one of them is going up horizontally, then the other one is it's on a flat plane. Like if you're looking up, it's the opposite of where your stovetop is.
I got you.
It has a center line on it. It's a drawing of roughly what the top of the microwave would look like, because there's two holes here. You line its center line up with the one on the rear wall, the template that's on the wall, and then there again you tack it or tape it.
Okay, one quick question.
Okay.
Are the templates side to side the same width? In other words, if you had the back one lined up and you lined the two edges of the top one up, then you've got the center line.
Right. It should be lined up.
A totally blind person could do this. He may not be able to lift it, but he could do it.
But he could do that. But basically, of course, you might want to ask somebody, because it's pretty critical. You don't have much room for error when you attach the rear, the plate, when you're bringing up the microwave to those two holes.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, you put your template there on the top. So now you have your templates, and then it's a matter of drilling holes. Now, your counter, your shelf above it, your cabinet
is
going to be wood. Yeah. And so you can drill those two holes fairly simple, and I drilled them from underneath, and you drill right through the template. There's a little, and there again, you'd have to have sighted help because to see where these circles are.
Yeah, to see.
And so you drill, and on those, I used a little 3/8 inch.
All right, just hang on just a second. You're telling me that the holes are holes drawn on the thing.
On
they aren't punched out?
No, not on this piece of paper, on your template. It's not metal, it's paper.
I understand that,
okay,
but they're not punched out holes.
Yeah, they aren't on the template.
Well, that slowed me down a whole lot.
But they are on the metal. So after you drill the two holes in the top counter, then you come down to your wall, and with your stud finder there again, you kind of go and refine that stud or studs that you had found earlier and decide if you can catch a hole, preferably up top and bottom on that stud. When you do that, and there will be, if you can catch one on the bottom, someplace there's one on the top that'll match up with that stud.
That's right.
And if you at least get two, then they want you to put six bolts in this thing. But if you have two, if you've caught the stud in one place and didn't, then you're going to put in four molly bolts. And these are big 3-inch long, 1/4-inch bolts. And you need to drill a 3/4-inch hole into your plywood.
Whoa.
And then you put your molly bolt in, and you can put your this metal support with four molly bolts and two stud bolts. Like I say, and if you're lucky, like in my case, I have four bolts in the stud, and I only had to put molly bolts on one end.
I got to ask you this.
Okay.
Just 1 second. Just back up just a second.
Okay.
Now, if you've got the plate off the, you've figured out how to take the plate off
right.
the back of the microwave.
Right.
Or if there are two of you to begin with, could you hold the back plate up to the wall without using the template? Hold it up where you're going to put it. And if you know where the stud is, because those holes are already punched.
Right. Yeah.
You could then, without using the template or worrying about the template, I mean, you're assuming that you're totally blind, just hold the plate up there and put it on. As long as you got it centered, you're home free.
You could do that, especially in a 30-inch opening.
You had a 30-inch opening.
Yeah. In my case, I had the 36, so I really needed to be accurate.
Absolutely did.
But in a 36 opening. And also, there's one other problem is you want, you know, the slightest degree. I mean, it's fairly forgiving, but it also tells you to make sure that some shelves and kitchen cabinets are not perfectly square, just as walls aren't. You want to be lined up with the front of your shelf. In other words, and in some cases, that may be a little lower than the back of the cabinet.
Yeah.
So you want, because...
There'd be a little lip of trim on it sometimes.
But anyway, after you could do that, and if you drill your holes and secure your back plate on, and you have your two holes drilled in the top, and then they're going to sort of lay the bolts and washers up in that top cabinet for that. Now we're going to attach the micro hood to the rear plate. And what you do, if you have an existing stove here in place, and you have it, if it's like a countertop stove, a drop-in stove, I was lucky. I had counter space on both sides, just enough, and I put two 2x4s, one on each side of my stovetop. You want to protect it from the microwave. You don't want to set this heavy microwave on top of your stove. And I put a piece of 3/4-inch plywood over my range, and so that way I had a shelf to set the microwave on. And I got someone to help me lift the microwave up on my little shelf, and see, there again, you're still 4 or 5 inches below where you want to be.
I got you.
Okay. And so what I did is I get some pillows or big, thick, heavy towels, because what we're going to do is lay this microwave, after you've got it on your shelf or on whatever you're putting on, we want to lay it face down on its door. Now, I don't know that they exactly recommend this, but with cushions or towels or pillows, you will not do any damage, and the door on your microwave is going to be taped shut. You're not going to damage any controls. And on the back of your, and when you attach the micro hood to the rear plate, the mounting plate, on each side, left and right of the bottom of the microwave, is a piece of metal that's about 3 inches long or 4 inches long, and it has a slot in it. One on the left side and one that would be on the bottom of the microwave.
Uh-huh.
So when you're laying the microwave on the front, these are on the top and you can work with. And if you slide the microwave all the way to the back wall, you're probably going to be about 2 or 3 inches off of the flange part of the rear mounting bracket. And what you want to do is lift that microwave up and hook the flange from the rear bracket through the slot in these two pieces of metal on the microwave.
And then click it in.
And then it will swing up just like a gate, just like a door.
And click right in.
And then up at the top is a hook that will grab the back of it. And then, and you can actually, after you get it attached to that rear plate, you can handle it. One man can almost handle it, one person, and swing it up.
Once it's attached to the rear plate.
And then when it grabs that hook, it will hold it long enough for you to get your two bolts in through your top shelves.
And once you get them in,
then you're home free.
And Well, good.
It was quite a project, but it really turned out nice.
If you have any questions about that, you can email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com. That's blindhandyman@hotmail.com. We will check your email, and we cannot answer letters with email, but we'll answer you on the radio, on ACB radio.
We sure will.
MSN Messenger, Don?
Or we may at some point answer on MSN Messenger somewhere down the line. We'll see.
But I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about how do you get on the MSN Messenger.
Oh, yeah. To get on the MSN Messenger, just go to your new contact list and put in blindhandyman@hotmail.com, and we will add you to our MSN Messenger list.
If we like you.
That's right.
And we like you.
We really do. Thank you, Donald. That was very good. I think a blind person could do that. I wish I'd come over and, I really don't because they're heavy.
Yeah.
All right, Tom Houston, thank you, sir, for being with us today.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you next week. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.